Okay. Doing a lot better.
Good afternoon, everybody.
It's a while.
We have agenda before us, but before we start that, we have like to call the meeting to order.
Sure,
okay. Hector said sure. All right, the minutes of January 22nd are here. Second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Then we have January 30th, 2014. Move it. Second.
There you go.
Any discussion? If not, roll call on that, too.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Next, we have Resolution 52, which is...
Anytime home care?
Approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000, Office of Aging. So move.
I'll move it.
Hector,
second.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 53, approving the execution of contract amendment of $50,000 entered by the county Atlantic Pavement Marking Department of Public Works. Moved by.
I'll move it.
Second. They haven't had the meeting yet.
This one I knew that
they had.
Second.
But I have a question.
All right.
This one. But did you read you?
I was just saying that Public Works hasn't met yet.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing I'm wondering is if we've done. I remember when we switched from doing this ourselves to contracting out. In that interim, have we ever done a cost comparison of what it cost us to have it in house versus? I know there were issues with the paint and having to switch the paint and something about the reflectors and the paint being toxic and whatnot, but have we ever really looked at whether this is more cost-effective?
Thank you, Andrea. I believe it's more cost-effective. I'm not sure we've done it.
Can you get some information for next meeting?
I'd like to know longer term. Hey.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just remembering because this contract that came up last year, and if my memory serves me correctly, it was determined that they were giving actually the county a very good deal.
Yeah, I'm not interested in whether it's or not.
I think we should ask the fact that a cost analysis of, keep it in house versus it going outside.
We'll check with Public Works too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I sat on Public Works last year, and Dean said that's like a dynamite price what they were giving us.
Well, no, it's not only that though. I mean, they sub out that. I mean, the company that does it, I'm sure it goes around, does it probably the length of the season, which probably is. 7-8 months times 4 weeks, 35 weeks a year, and they keep the machine busy during that period. If we just do it, we're probably going to keep it busy for a very small part of that period. But I mean,
less use on the machine. I'd like to just
only
know.
Time of year that you're
yeah, it's only an 8 month period, 7 month period.
Yeah,
but Ken, if you can kindly get us something, appreciate it.
And
thank you for the report on the personnel.
Sure, anytime.
Yeah, the other thing is too. I don't when we switched it to subbing out. I don't recall that we laid people off to do it. So you know what I mean. So again, I'm looking for a bigger picture, not even to satisfy my voting next week, but just to the longer term discussion.
So it
doesn't
matter. All right, we'll get that.
Thank you.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
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 Resolution 61. Authorize the Commissioner of Finance to sell property, ordered by the court, real property, article number 11, real property of the Department of Finance. Move. Hector first.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Second. You want a question first or want Bert to explain?
Go ahead and ask first. Fine. It seems to be a pretty standard resolution that I think we've voted on for probably all 12 years.
This resolution is setting the date for the auction as well.
I'm aware. But I'm going to ask you the same question. I've probably asked year after year after year. There was either resolution or local law. I forget. This is backed by resolution, I think. So it was not a local law, but that we have continuously been looking or having planning look at these properties to ensure that basically there any of them aren't prime for acquisition for the open space plan for economic development purposes, et cetera, et cetera.
We provided the list to the chairman of Ways and Means as well as Dennis Doyle and planning.
Because there was a committee, I believe, put together that included, again, this is an old resolution, but you know whether or not it's still in effect.
It was never passed.
No, the resolution was passed.
It was an ad hoc policy that we formed.
A resolution was passed, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, digressing. The point is, though, planning and Department of the Environment, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. I just want to know that it was given to them and that...
They have that list.
Okay,
they
have and have list. Any of them been recommended to be pulled from the list?
Not yet. I mean, the okay. list is extensive. So, okay.
Yeah. See, that was it.
Gracious.
So, and I remember way, way back a discussion, and then I also recall Hector bringing this up every time, and again, not for this resolution before us, but I think... I mean, here we just heard Bert say it was an ad hoc committee, nothing mm-hmm. was passed. I mean, I think that this committee should draft and adopt a policy that we actually do pass and pass to the legislature that speaks to this specifically. I have a lot of research from back then, okay, and that would be yeah, moving forward.
I
but I think we
I can provide you the draft yeah, policy that we
I think
have
we should. I think we should do that. We should make it official so that every... Every time we have this discussion.
That to us, we'll get mm-hmm. among the committee itself.
And I'll be happy to work on that.
Just setting the date for
yeah,
the
but those were sent to Planning okay. Department of Environment to review. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, may I very briefly? Again, it'll have no impact on the vote, but I'm Joe Ariel, Deputy Comptroller. I just want to let this committee know that our office is taking a look at the law, the state law, and the county process in dealing with these foreclosures. There are tremendous strictures in the flexibility that the county has in doing anything because the law is pretty clear on how these things go down. But as you know, I'm sure many of you get phone calls from people on this list. We get a lot of phone calls from people on this list. And one of the most difficult things to hear, the story, and I know Bert does too, this is not necessarily a list filled with deadbeats who don't want to pay their taxes. It's people who are in trouble, who are behind, and oftentimes it's even people who want to pay and have the ability to pay something. And again, the strictures of the state law on how those plans can be structured and what relief is available to them sometimes make it really almost impossible for them to pay, even when they've got the ability to pay something. And the finance, some of the due diligence we've done so far indicates that the finance department does a tremendous job doing exactly what they're supposed to under the law and even doing everything they can to help people understand the process and try to save these properties. But again, we just wanted to let you know, and because we'd be happy to get any input or questions that people on this committee have on the issue. Or if you're getting calls from people, we'd like to know your thoughts on it, and we'll keep you posted as we do some homework on this and see if maybe there's a way, you know, to work with. So this list gets shorter, so to speak, and the county, frankly, gets some of those taxes, and people can save their property. So that's just sort of by way of report to this committee, and please let us know if you've got any thoughts on that in the coming.
Well, I know this committee as a whole has had people come before us regarding some circumstances that we have listened to. We have listened to a full legislative body. Unfortunately, sometimes our hands are tied, but yeah. I could say that, you know, from my dealing with the finance department, Bert in particular, and Mr. Kirshner when he was here, you know, there have been many, many different options, different proposals drawn together to try to give back the property to the property owner. So, I mean, we just don't say, oh, you're late, we're not going to take the money. I mean, there have been valiant efforts. I know many of them. Unfortunately, some of the efforts haven't continued all the way through. But, you know, I think that, and I'll speak for myself and probably every legislator, we don't want to be in the real estate business.
Right.
We would love to have the owners of properties maintain their properties. Everybody runs into some financial difficulties at times, so maybe not everybody, but some people. And we're here to help, if possibly, within the boundaries of the law.
So all we're talking about is we agree with all of that. We're trying to see if there's any way to create more options for, you know, so our hands aren't as tied as they are.
And
by
is,
our hands, I mean our collective hands. You know, what
and I know Bert has looked at that because I've asked him to look at, you know, what we can do, what we can't do. I know... B has looked at it, you know, and I know Erica, you know, is starting to get looking at it as much as possible, and even more so. But
congratulations,
yeah.
And saying that, B would like to say something, and Tracy.
So this is the hardest job that my office has. No one wants to be in the position where you're foreclosing on properties, but as attorneys, we are bound to follow the law. What we attempt to do is work with people. If they're eligible for an installment agreement, which comes under Article 11 of real property tax law, and there's certain criteria that have had to have been met, we work with them and the Commissioner of Finance on that. But what I also do is I try to work with the attorneys that when people finally realize that their property is in foreclosure, sometimes they wait until it's the very last minute. They wait until the day of the auction. And I have had attorneys on the phone with me at the moment that the auction has started, and I say to them, as the attorney for the county, I cannot consent to a stay, but I won't oppose it. Run over to the county judge and get a stay now. They say to me, how do I get a stay? Because most people don't know this area of law. It took me, you know, as county attorney to learn it. I say, come over here, I'll give you some papers. You know, I'll redact the names of the other people, but go over there and run over there and get a stay. So once they get the stay, then we try to work with them before we go any further with it, because the stay runs out eventually, to get them in a position where they can pay their taxes. I have spoken to banks, as has Bert has. We've done everything that we possibly can within the framework of the law, because we can't go beyond the framework of the law. The list that is out there now, by the way, will be whittled down quite a bit before it actually comes to the point where we seek a judgment from the court. That's the next step. We seek a judgment from the county court to obtain these properties and then auction them off. And so we continue to work with them. The deadline to put in an answer is February 21st. Some people realize that, and they do it. That gives them more time. It buys them more time. And that's sometimes that's all they need is some more time to just figure it out, come up with the money, maybe enter into an agreement. If they've been in an installment agreement before and they've defaulted on the agreement, they're not allowed to enter into another agreement. That's via state law and the county's local law. If they have other properties that are behind in their taxes, that's another issue that has to be addressed. So we bend over backwards because, as Richie says, we don't want to be in the real estate business. We're already in the real estate business, and a lot of these properties we're acquiring because of the floods, which we're going to attempt to sell. And Town of Worsing might be interested in some of them for public purpose. So that's at least what we do in our office. And if you know anyone that has a problem, you need to let them get in contact with the Commissioner of Finance's office immediately. And the best advice that he can give them is get an attorney right now and do something about it now. Don't wait until the last minute. Don't wait until the county finally has the property in its name. We also have a process that this legislature adopted also, so that once the county does own it, anybody can come back and redeem their property before we sell it to someone else. If you can come up with the money, you can redeem
the property. The legislature passed a resolution the Friday before the auction, which is April, I think it's 19th. They have the ability to buy back from the county. So although February 21st is the deadline, there is still some leeway.
The commissioner has some discretion in that respect, and he exercises it when it needs to be exercised. So,
and Bert, I'm no attorney. I don't purport to be vague. But after it is auctioned, the owner of the property, the previous owner of the property, has period of time of how many days to come back and offer $1 more?
Yes.
Which was a resolution that was passed by this legislature as well.
Okay. So. Tracy?
Be answered my question. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Will Pugh's question.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Number 63, authoring a private sale of a property previously owned at Public Auction Department of Finance.
We can do 62.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would ask that you do 62 and 63 together.
Sure.
Because they're similar.
There you go.
Okay.
That's why I didn't do it.
All right. These two properties.
Move it, somebody? 62
move
and 3?
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay.
And I believe my colleagues.
All right. But B wanted to say something first. Yes. B wants to say something.
I think you need to know the background here. I discussed this with legislative counsel and my staff a few minutes ago at our legislative council meeting. These two properties were a part of a potential sale in the last round of in-rem proceedings. This is not does not have to do with anything, any of the ones that we are currently in the process of working on. What the county has done in the past, going back to Frank Murray's time and through Josh's, when there was a potential for what we deemed a hazard on the property, there was a procedure that we went through. And the procedure was instead of, what the county does is it goes and it gets a judgment from the court, and the judgment allows us to sell the property, to take ownership of the property and sell it. But instead of taking actual ownership of the property in those cases, which is a deed, we would assign the judgment from the court to the county, and the Commissioner of Finance would assign the judgment to the county, and then the chairman would sign the deed, selling it to the purchaser. It was a way that the County of Ulster and Greene County, Albany County, Sullivan County, other counties believed it kept us out of the chain of title, because you don't want to be in the chain of title when there's a potential hazard. Now, frankly, the county can't ascertain every piece of property that it picks up whether or not there's a hazard in it. There could be something buried under the ground that you never know about. These two properties, though, however, it was clear what the hazards, what they deemed the hazards were. One was an area where there was a lot of junk cars that were continuously being cited by the building inspector in the town. People would remove the junk cars, and then they put some more junk cars on the property, and this would go on and on. The other one was when the Marlboro had garbage outside, and they started a fire and tried to burn the garbage, and they were cited by the building inspector. Okay. Commissioner, being very conservative, decided he was going to deem them hazardous so we could go through this process. So after the legislature makes this determination in a resolution, I then go to the court. But before I go to the court, I have the county commissioner of finance, and I have to go through a petition process where we notify the past purchaser, and we go through the whole thing all over again that we did when we started the process. Once we get to that point, I go to the court, and I ask the court to sign a judgment. And with a judgment is the package that contains the county's resolution and the proposed judgment. Judge Williams had been fine with this up until these two properties, and for some reason he decided that because the property is not being conveyed by a deed directly into the county, that he did not want to sign the judgment. And he cited a section of the Article 11 that he felt was pertinent. I can tell you that I spent over an hour and a half with him and follow-ups trying to convince him that this is what we've done in the past, we'd like to go forward with it, but he is the judge, and he decided that he didn't want to do that. So now we have these two properties, so we have to figure out, what are we going to do with them? Are we going to keep them, you know, in limbo, because now they'll remain in the names of the owners and we won't be collecting taxes on them if we can't do anything with them? There is a process where you can get a grant. It's called brownfields. It's very complicated. It's very expensive, where you would go in, the county would go in and would take possession of the property and then clean the property up and then get repaid for some of the expenses that you incurred under this grant. We've never done that. Most counties don't do that because unless they have a huge, huge, area that they want to clean up. And there was just something on my email today that the money for brownfields is drying up, and that some municipalities who are in the process of doing this may not even get the funds that they are expecting while they're working on this. So I went back to the Commissioner of Finance and I said, "All right, you've been very conservative about this. I want you to go back and look at these properties again. Take a good hard look at them and tell me why you think they're hazardous. But in addition to doing that, I want you to communicate with the Department of Environmental Conservation and the Ulster County Health Department. Write to them. Find out if they've got anything on either one of these two properties." Because what he's telling me is, they're borderline, right? Mm-hmm. Borderline. Yep. So we did that and we found nothing. So we decided, all right, let's go back to the legislature and see if you want to sell the property yet, in a way that we can get a judgment from the court. And the only way that I can get a judgment from Judge Williams is if we take a deed into the property. So these particular resolutions are designed to take a deed into the property. And then rather than having the chairman, what happens is the Commissioner of Finance is the one who creates the deed into the county. That's the mechanism that we use, okay? So he would do that. He would take the deed into the county. If you're familiar with sheriff sale, that's how a sheriff does it. If you're familiar with private foreclosures, the referee does that in a private foreclosure, takes the deed in. All right. So he would take the deed into the county, and rather than have the chairman of the legislature deed it out of the county, have the Commissioner of Finance deed it out of the county. Whether or not that's going to give us any further protection, I can't guarantee you, okay, that will happen. We do have the purchasers in these potential situations sign an agreement saying they're going to be indemnify us and be responsible for everything under the sun, whether it's an environmental issue or a zoning issue or any other issue that could possibly come up. And they, you know, they sign them. We don't, we reference them in our resolutions also. So this is before you now, and you have to decide what you want to do about it. We've discussed this as council, and, you know, if you decide not to go forward with it, then you decide not to go forward with it. But this is the only process that I could come up with that would satisfy the court, because without a judgment from the court, we can't sell this property.
Is there any liability once it's sold to, you know?
There's always liability if you're deemed to be in the chain of title. You could be named county could be named in an action. Whether or not we would be deemed liable afterwards is questionable. There's no way to tell you that you would or you would not be deemed. You know, anybody could, they would name, any good attorney would name everybody that's in the chain of title, okay?
Sure. Which right? then is put against the includes also.
Right.
Hector?
Thank you. B, did you also, because I guess there were junk cars on site, or I guess no one's done a phase one on either of these properties, right? So we don't know. I mean, there's always the possibility of going to the oil compensation fund. They always have a pot of money. But
we have to own the property.
I understand.
That's the problem.
I understand. I know. I'm just saying there are other available, you know, avenues on top of not just the Brownfield Fund, which of course is
well,
the predominant
ones. We did our due diligence by contacting
my comment.
No, actually, yeah. There was a phase one done. You are right because they actually did. But a phase one is correct, Legislator Rodriguez. They did do a phase one.
We do an inspection of the property.
Yeah, but that's why I said it was a phase one done.
Yes. Well.
Yes. Because a phase one, forgive me if you don't mind.
No, please, Erica, go ahead.
A phase one basically is a paper interview. Well, is a paper interview as to what the DEC has on record as far as spills and any other complaints about the particular property, which is what the Commissioner of Finance did.
He also provides a form to the municipality's building inspector to ask the building inspector what they might know.
Right. Yeah. And then we also send out our senior project manager, Buildings and Grounds, to inspect it as well.
So my follow-up is, because we clearly have purchasers involved in here, in these resolutions, what are they planning on doing with these properties afterwards?
Really, that's up to them and what the zoning permits.
So we're going to basically just flip over properties that have a certain level of unknown amount of contamination over to somebody else and just pray to God that they do something to fix it up.
We have no right to tell them what they can or cannot do with it. They have to abide by the zoning laws and everything else that exist in their municipality or any other health department laws or DEC laws. Once it's theirs, just like any other property that
I'm aware of that. However, we are the ones, of course, being asked right now to go and sell this property, right, for back taxes.
But heck, you got to understand whoever the owner is going to, the new owner coming in on one particular property is $145,000.
And 51 acres.
Does it take a lot to ask a question?
No, but I'm just saying that, I mean, they're coming in and spending in, you know, a substantial amount of money there. I mean, we have no authority on any of the properties that we sell, what they're going to do with them. So why?
Yes, but we're being asked at this point to go and sell these two particular properties, right? We're taking them in.
We are taking them in because this was the only vehicle that we had to dispose of them.
I understand that. But once you've crossed that bridge, I'm just saying, you know, I just asked a pretty just generic question. Do we have any idea as to whether or not they are planning on cleaning up these properties to any degree? I'm not even saying, oh, are they going to basically return it back to virgin condition? That's not necessarily, even under the Brownfields law, that's actually not even what's required. Now it's basically you clean it up to the use that you basically intend on reusing the property for. So I just asked the question as to whether or not we've actually asked them, what are their intentions?
No, we don't ask them anything.
We don't ask that question.
Not for any of the properties that we sell.
I think, we can't.
Well, I don't think that I think that Article 11 is fairly clear about what you can do when you sell these properties also. Whether you, the county wants, the legislature doesn't want to sell the properties, is really a discretionary decision on behalf of
That's
the
true.
Legislature.
That's
so,
right. And so, and because it's discretionary, I just had a question. Okay. Maybe we can ask them.
So it's up to you guys.
Well, you didn't have the closing yet, right?
No, we can't do anything until we get a judgment. Right, well, okay. And so we don't have a judgment without a resolution.
Why don't you conveniently ask them what's their intent of the property?
It's pretty simple. That's the question.
All right?
I don't know.
We could ask them that, but I don't think that
would be fine. Give it to them. I understand that. And they could tell you they're going to do X, and it could be Y when they finally do it.
Right. Jump in.
What, Hector, I think you make a really good point, but my question would be, what do you do once you ask?
Yeah, how do you bind them?
Right. I'm not – look, at this point, look – based off of the way I'm believing that the county attorney, as well as the administration at this point, wishes to dispose of this property for our fiduciary responsibility to get back taxes, mm-hmm. in this case, make a, it's not really a profit, but whatever you want to damn well call it, above and beyond on the first one, which is 51 acres, right? Fine. I'm just asking if anybody's actually asked them a question, because I at least would like to know whether or not the new owners intend on cleaning up the site and to what level. At least know that we're actually fixing a problem, not just basically doling it out to somebody else who then may do something worse with it. And I realize, yes, that happens in every instance, every time you take a property in an MREM and you sell it at auction. Yes, I get that. This is unique. I figured I'd ask.
And B said when she's sitting at the table, she's going to kindly ask the new properties what they're intending.
See how easy that was?
Right? They don't have to tell you. They can pay you to come back next week or whatever the case may be.
You can't bind them unless you put something in the deed that restricts them.
I'm not trying to bind them.
You know what you have to do. Kenny asked me how to hand up way before. Let me have Ken and the other two. Ken?
Sorry.
Yeah, I have two quick questions. Well, actually, one of them is, I think there's an error in whereas number four relating to section blah, blah.
Which number are you on, two or three?
62.
The fourth whereas?
Yes, it has the tax MAC number as 60.14-1-32. It should be 60.4. The one needs to be removed as per the notation below on the previous owner where it has SBL number.
I see what it's
saying.
It's a typo.
It's a typo, I'm sure, okay. But if we're going to want to make it legal, I think we need to have the numbers.
We should check them out. Which one is the right SBL number?
Second thing is I wanted to ask whether or not it was potentially reasonable to ask for some insurance to cover our position or some performance bond of some type to remain in place.
We have signed conveyance agreements with these property owners.
Yes, that's
in. These, both of these two parcels, and they indemnify us in the conveyance agreements.
Do they have sufficient resources and deep pockets?
That I couldn't tell you. And, I there's always the question about whether someone is judgment proof or not. Okay, whether or not they have the resource and assets. That, you know, that's not something that we address, nor do we ask them for insurance for any of the properties that we sell. And, you know, the attempt by the county to make sure that insurance is kept current would be difficult and hard to do. Okay.
Tracy?
Okay, a few questions. Are the conveyance agreements, are those standards, or is that just something we ask in these special
Only
cases?
Only in these special cases.
And what level of confidence do you have with those conveyance agreements holding up? I mean, in terms of...
It's like any other contract. You just, if you're challenged, you go and you hope that they'll hold up and the court will recognize them as holding up.
Okay.
All right.
And then my next question is, given that the process that we previously followed now has presented a problem for us, is this the way we're going to have to do this from now on?
If the property presents a real hazard, we're not even going to come to the legislature with it. We won't, unless we can find some way, unless we participate in some kind of a grant program, unless the county has money for it, wants to go in and clean up the property under brownfields where your liability then is not at stake, that's something for future discussion. But it's a dilemma that every county is facing right now and continues to face. The issue is, if we bought a structure tomorrow and we say, all right, let's demolish it, okay? Because if we demolish it, we've got vacant land now, we can sell this property and we can get a better price for it, okay? We would have to go in and we would have to do a lead and asbestos abatement, and then we would have to remediate the lead and asbestos before we could demolish it. Because once we take ownership of it as a county, that becomes our responsibility. So there are all of these factors that come into play. You know, this Article 11 was revised about 10 or 15 years ago. It's better than what it was before, but it's still not perfect.
And can I ask, you know, flagging these as potentially hazardous, did that come before or after the sale?
There is no sale. The sale is pending.
Right. No, I mean before or after the auction.
Yeah, it was before. Because the county didn't take title to these.
Article 11 allows you to withdraw any parcel of property that is in the list, okay, mm-hmm. and that's been through the process where we've served them with papers and we're ready to get a judgment. Any time prior to final judgment, we can withdraw it under Article 11. So we withdraw these properties. There are other reasons why we withdraw properties. People file bankruptcy, we withdraw the properties. We have to. There's a criteria that allows you to do it. So once we withdraw it, it's no longer in the process of the proceeding anymore. So now if we want to go forward and we want to sell these properties, we had to start the proceeding all over again. We went back and we reserved the owners, okay? We sent them the mailing. We've posted the property. We did the publications in the newspapers, two consecutive weeks, right?
Right, yep.
All right, that's all been done. So now if we want a judgment on this, we do that for these on the withdrawals, not on the main action, right. Okay? All right, so we're at a point now where we could go to the court saying, we've done all of our service, everybody's been put on notice, due process has taken place, here's our affidavits, here's all of our publications, and here's the resolution. It gets attached to the proposed judgment. And we ask the court for a judgment. That's where we go. So we're at that point now. If we don't do it, we're going to have to return the money to the commissioner's been holding the money in escrow. We'll return the money to the potential purchasers.
Carl?
Just a question about, and it's probably can't be done because of the law, but Couldn't the county come to an agreement with the bidders and say, look, this is the way the property is, and sign a release or whatever? That doesn't work.
Well, that's what we do.
That wasn't the problem. The problem was the judge.
The release they right. signed. The conveyance and indemnification agreement is a release. Okay?
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. In essence, it's a release. It's a hold harmless release. That's okay. Yeah. That's what it is.
That was not a problem years past. It became a problem because of one judge has some certain
reservations. His discretion. He's the judge,
What happens with abandoned properties that don't have mortgages and they're somehow a potential brownfield? What does the county do in that case?
Well, by abandoned, you mean properties that haven't paid their taxes in 3 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just were abandoned.
The
But I mean, in
same
time, you're in the same. We're in the same.
These properties now, the elements that you were concerned about, do they still exist on the properties? Are those cars still there and the garbage still there?
I believe so.
I think people are still living there.
Yeah, people are still living.
People are still living there.
Remember, we didn't take title.
It's got a couple
the county did not take title to it. So.
Yeah, I mean, what concerns me about this is we've raised the red flag, by saying that we had a process, so it was like, okay, there was a process that kept us out of the chain of title, so it was okay to raise the red flag, but now it's like, now you have to be in the chain of title, and there's a red flag.
We were never sure that we were out of the chain of title,
right.
Okay? When we had that process. Mm-hmm. That we were never sure that someone would not come back and say, oh, yes, you were in the chain of title, because you got a judgment, and even though you assigned it, you had it in your possession for a short period of time.
But we had a different level of comfort. We had an expectation
yes.
we'd get the judgment. We had
right.
a different level of comfort with that. So that's where I feel a little...
That could happen with any property. It could happen with my house.
What do you mean that could happen with your house?
Well, say I wanted to... For a period of 3 years, I don't want to pay my taxes. In the meantime, I had bring junk cars in there or open oil, have a change oil there, do various other things. Then
you don't know
that under the ground thing too.
Right, but that wouldn't have raised. I mean, right now we're having a meeting discussing this issue about it being a concern.
And it was not a concern in the past until it was brought to our attention that they were delinquent in their taxes. Then we got involved and we determined that there were some issues there.
Right, but it's about the county's liability. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
The county's always going to have
liability. Always
going to
be a liability once you take up
a chain of ownership of some type.
I understand that, but I'm saying we had a different level of comfort with the certainly the county attorney's office property. And the commissioner of finance had a different level of comfort mm-hmm. with the level of liability yes. prior yep. to this situation and change in what's.
But you're not even
going
to know what your liability is until you go to court.
I know that. I'm simply saying my concern is that it's like holding a big sign up saying, hey, this property has a concern, but we're going to move on.
I think you should address the fact that there's no representations that you make
in the conveyance agreement, that we make representations in the conveyance agreement, and that we're not making any representations as to what the property is, but that if...
Can we have one conversation going, please?
Notwithstanding that if they want the property, they have to, you know, hold us harmless. Okay, indemnify us for anything and everything under the sun that we can think of.
Right? What would it take to make sure that we know that the property is not going to, you know, that this is not going to happen? How much money would it take from us to determine that it's good to sell? Because I don't feel comfortable with, I mean, what you're saying right now is that we, you know,
but you might never, I mean, never know that in any property you ever sell.
We'd have to do that on every.
You buy a house and you find out that the guy had a hole in his oil tank and the basement's filled with oil, and he buried it.
It's a buried tank.
Understand, we don't get to go inside houses either when they're up for foreclosure. Unless somebody
Listen, our big concern here is...
Unless somebody allows us to go in. And believe me, people are not letting us into their houses.
Like I said before, we don't want to be in the real estate business. We are forced to do a lot of this stuff because of state law. And we are looking at procedures so that we don't become the owners of the property. We're trying to dispose of them. And in the past, we disposed of them in a way that seemed to be conducive for everybody. Now, one judge has a problem with that. That's why we're going through this process.
Well, And if I may, so it basically seems in this instance, because of the nature of the two properties, this is a bit more of a unique situation than we're normally disposing of property, correct? Slightly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of the properties, that's so in essence,
yes.
This is, I'm not going to say it's a one-off because we have two different properties, but it's kind of a one-off because at the end of the day, the rest of the properties go up through auction through a traditional process. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the previous question to move this along, which is for Resolutions 62 and 63.
Okay, but any other questions? If not, move it.
The whole point of moving the previous question...
I understand.
All right, you're wasting more time.
Yeah, that's right. I just want to hear you say that again.
Undebatable? Fine.
All right, any of the all in favor say aye for aye. 2 and 3, 62 and 3. Anybody against?
Aye.
All right, 64, authorize the chairman of Austin County Legislature to exit the agreement with the New York State Department
move
of Transportation to accept mass second. Transit. Second, discussion, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
65, authorizing the Austin County Legislature to execute agreement with the New York State Department of Transportation to accept
move
New York
it.
State funds for
I'll
all
second.
State. Move.
I'll second.
Second, discussion.
To make a note, the link is probably the most successful public transit system I think we actually have in terms of all of our programs.
Was noted.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Number 66, amending Ulster County budget to include additional allocation of funds to Ulster County and New York State Office of Aging.
I'll move it.
Second, discussion. Roll call. All in favor say aye. Resolution 67. Amending Ulster County budget to accept additional reinvestment funding for family of Woodstack Department of Mental Health.
Move it.
Second.
Discussion.
Sorry.
No discussion. Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
68. Amending Ulster County budget to accept additional and reinvestment funding for Gateway Community Industries Department of Mental Health. Move.
Second. I'll move it. So you said, I'll move it.
I'll
have that. There you go. You can say.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Amending the 2014 Ulster County budget by transferring and appropriating sequester funds from contingency into various county departments. Move.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion. This was done in our budget based on when we're getting sales tax monies. Any other questions? If not, roll call.
Aye.
Aye.
70, setting a public hearing of proposed local law 1 of 2014, applying the salary revision to Resolution 69 to all county officers serving for fixed terms to be held on Tuesday, March 18th at 7 p.m. These are the titles that you have listed here: Commissioner of Elections, Commissioner of Elections twice, Public Health, Social Services, Personnel Director.
This puts money back to the commissioners?
I might
vote no.
I can speak to the answer.
They should have gotten increases they got 3 years ago.
Hold on, please.
Hold on, please.
All right, it'll be six titles that we're going to be increasing salaries from 2013 to 14 of 2%.
And I'm sorry.
They're all titles. Who moved it first?
Filio moved and second by?
Second.
Okay, now discussion. Hector?
Well, you know, you don't always get that, you know, get a second chance at fighting a battle that you lost the first time around. But, the commissioners came in talking about their salary increases many years ago to this committee, and we're planning to basically pay for it through the sale of labels. That was going to be the big moneymaker. And I don't really think it worked out the way that they presented. And I have to admit, I'm a little reluctant to vote for this if it's got those salary increases, basically putting that money right back in after, honestly, they sort of sold us a bill of goods.
Percy?
That happened during my absence, but
3 years ago, right?
I actually feel pretty similar to Hector. I feel when I saw this, I thought, "Wow, this is a second look at this." Because during the budget time, those were lines that I raised. But you know, you're going to pick your battles. We're going to fight about every line. But I have similar feelings. I don't know. I'm not sure about this one for that reason either. For just right. those two titles I'm talking about.
All right, but just so you understand, this is just for a public hearing on these particular titles.
What we passed in the budget. I get all that, but that's why I say I hear Hector in terms of seeing it as a second shot. I mean, when we looked back at those numbers being sold as increases to salary against supposed increased revenues, those revenues absolutely... I mean, you're being a little bit facetious. Those revenues absolutely did not happen.
Being gentle.
Yeah, Jeanette? It did not happen.
Yeah, I recall the conversation during our last Ways and Means during budget process, and it was increases for the deputies.
No, that's different.
This is like 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I know, but they were supposed to come back. They were supposed to come back and talk to either the committee or they were supposed to come back and explain why that increase. It was quite an increase from just the clerk and the deputy. Mm-hmm.
They changed the title, too.
Mm-hmm. They did have to change the title.
I can't speak to the Board of Elections.
Is that what it was,
exactly.
Change
the
title?
Obviously, they're getting wrapped up into a broader discussion. Okay. I mean, as I'm saying, the budget includes a 2% raise for all of the department heads and management. The clerk's office receives a raise as well. Just by the nature of it, there are certain officials in the county that have a fixed term, and you can only adjust their salary by local law. So that's why this
they're specific.
Just so that everybody's aware, like B just mentioned to me, these six titles are fixed terms titles. These have to be going to a public hearing. Everyone else is getting a raise of 2%. In the quote, the manager category.
But because of these are fixed terms and it's outside the perimeters of their term in the budget, you have to go do a local law. You've done many of these in the past.
Of course we have. I'm not disputing that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I can't speak to the Board of Elections.
Neither can I.
Mary Beth and Tracy.
But to clarify what Hector was saying, what are we saying, 3 years ago? They came to us and asked us for an increase?
About 3 years ago.
So...
I think myself and I'm trying to figure out who the other person was who voted
no. I voted no, but I think it got voted through.
Oh, it got voted through. Voted,
so yes, then why is...
An appropriate tie.
Okay, I guess my question would be, okay, so it's for public hearing, but when it comes before us, is it going to be six separate things so we can say no and yes to what we want?
No.
You would have to amend the resolution.
You amend it actually here. I mean, you amend it.
You amend it whenever you vote on it. Yes.
And basically just vote on the 1, 2, 3, 4
four
positions.
Tracy.
What I would recommend that we have for this committee for the next meeting is that backup data. When the increase happened, how much it was, because it was outside the realm of the standard increases, as I understand it. And, you know, maybe the minutes from that meeting that described the discussion. Again, because if that discussion...
Why don't we just have them here?
I'd like to have them here, but I'd like the documentation from back then. That's what I'd want to see. I mean, I hear it from the two of you, and I looked back myself.
Can you get the documentation from that meeting and ask the two commissioners to be present at our next meeting? All right.
Mm-hmm. And then how do we separate this?
It would be, we'd have to delete those two titles
right there.
Which would then require probably another public hearing, right?
Well, no, you're doing it before the public hearing.
You do it before.
You do it before the public hearing.
Yeah. Remember, we can amend a committee.
Public hearing. Mm-hmm. Ken? Yeah.
Just number one, that was, I think, November, December of 2011.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
That's when it should have been.
It may even be, I actually looked it up not that long ago. I actually looked an idiot, but it was either it may be October, November, December, somewhere.
It was 11 because I remember I labeled it Fred Wendell's departing date.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it was.
But if I could just have the floor for just one more second, the message that we'll be sending by this, and I just want the committee to ponder this over the next week or so until it comes, is going to be that every single management confidential employee will be getting a 2% raise, except these two individuals.
Because they already got it. Because they already got it 3 years ago.
I'm just throwing that out there.
It's a good throw out there.
But the commissioner's got a raise.
All right, hold on, please. Hold on. One person have the floor first. One person speak at a time. Mary Beth, you done?
I'm good.
All right.
I want to separate it.
We were going to have them part of right here, and if you wanted to have the majority take it out in the next meeting, you could do such correctly.
For 7 days before the public hearing, but then the issue comes up with your committee meetings and your rules and everything else, so I don't know how you're going to adjust that. That would take some organization.
Excuse counsel, Mr. Weiner will have the pleasure of figuring it all out. I get to pass the buck.
They could choose the...
If the majority of people want to include these two titles into it, you could have a public hearing at a later date to include them in there because there's funding available into the budget already. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not an issue that we have to do it tonight. A week from tonight, we are going to get the information. We're going to bring the two commissioners in. We can have questions answered, and we will take it from that point what the majority of the ways and means wants to recommend to the legislative body.
And also, if I could, Clerk Fabella also just brought up the point, too, is that this has to go before laws and rules because it's a local law, and that's original jurisdiction. So I think that might be, if they want to make any amendments, they should discuss it with the chairman of laws and rules, because that's actually the proper committee at this juncture as far as amending the local law.
We will incorporate that into it, yes.
Just saying.
Tracy?
Any information that we have, could we get it as soon as it's available electronically rather than waiting until next meeting?
We would probably get it tomorrow. If
that'd be great. That's
tomorrow,
what I'm saying. Whenever.
With the weather being
whenever.
Whatever it's supposed to be, you'll get it when it's
just as soon as it's available. That's fine. Right? Like, if we can't tomorrow, weather-wise, that's okay. Thank you.
So, saying all that... what's everybody's pleasure regarding this particular resolution?
Right now, I'm a no.
Yeah, I'd rather wait.
You want to hold it?
You set the public hearing.
You want to hold it? You want to hold it? You want to hold it?
That's fine.
Until next week, all right?
We'll hold it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll hold it for next week. All right, Resolution 71, appropriation for Ulster County Soil and Water.
Second.
Discussion.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any new business? Old business?
Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the meeting is adjourned at 6 o'clock.
Some in chain.